future, my city was the best. And my city was a threat to the rest.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Vic Carucci coming to you from the heart of Midtown Manhattan right here at the Sheraton New York Hotel. This is where Radio Row for Super Bowl 48 is located. I've been here since Monday. We'll be here through Friday doing some shows, having all sorts of different NFL guests with us. You've already heard from Chris Myers from Fox Sports on this show, as well as Mike Pereira, also from Fox Sports. Mike Pereira, the former head of officiating of the National Football League. And joining us, as he regularly does on this show, is our great friend, Gerard Cherry, also back in Northeast Ohio with Nathan Zagura. So, Gerard, the coaching staff continues, a lot of work continues to be done on that. No surprises in the hires that have been announced so far, especially on the defensive side, people following Mike Pettine from Buffalo to Cleveland right along the Lake Erie shore. But interesting now, reports, and they're being confirmed. We're seeing a report from Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com, that a league source confirming what Chris Mortensen reported, and that is that the Browns are scheduled to interview Kyle Shanahan tomorrow. Your thoughts on that?
Well, that makes a lot of sense, Vic, to bring in Kyle Shanahan. He's a viable candidate, and it makes a lot of sense if you're going to form a staff. Why not get a guy that has experience, who has a good to decent reputation? I say decent on this regard because of what took place with RG3 and also the disparaging remarks that Donovan McNabb had. And obviously, developing the quarterback is going to be a key thing for the Browns in this upcoming season. And if that first overall pick is one, you would hope that the quarterback and offensive coordinator can have a good relationship. But Kyle has been somewhat under fire with RG3 as well as Donovan McNabb of late. So that does have to concern you and raise your eyebrows some.
Gerard, as a player in the league, when you see a situation that went down like it did this past season with RG3 in Washington, where do you put the blame? Do you think that this was a situation where a player and a coach did not get along and that was it? Or do you think that this was a situation where maybe the ownership empowered their quote-unquote superstar to the detriment of the coach's ability to manage them?
I'm totally with the mindset it was a situation where the owner empowered the player to a prop to a part into a place where it was a detriment to the football team. Why is your father coming to practices and then giving his input on what he thinks should take place? Did RG2's dad actually go to college, or was he in the army scheming up plays? No, he was a soldier. So I don't understand that thought process whatsoever. So I'm totally of the mindset, Nathan, that Dan Snyder did way too much in ingratiating himself with RG3. Coaches coach, players play. He shouldn't forget that.
That's right.
And that's important to at least know, learn from these circumstances, because I'm in agreement. I mean, there had to be another factor in this, and a lot of layers with regard to a football organization that can cause things to go askew. And players can be manipulative, but so can coaches, so can anybody in this game. But, Gerard, as we look at it, there's a distinct possibility that the Browns could be bringing aboard a huge personality, another guy at quarterback who might very well see himself as being a brand. He will see himself as being a brand onto himself and a franchise onto himself in the form of Johnny Manziel. And if that's the case, that requires some very deft management, and it requires giving, you know, if Kyle Shanahan or whoever the offensive coordinator is, someone's got to be supportive behind him to make sure that his voice and his thoughts and what he's conveying is heard and that he can be respected. I know he's got to earn a lot of that, but he's got to have some support, too, with the player.
Yeah, he does, and that's my concern, because if it is Johnny Manziel, which all arrows are pointing to that direction, Vic and Nathan, then that concerns you, because I appreciate Kyle Shanahan saying, you know what, Donovan, no, I'm not going to let you run me. And RG3, I'm not going to let you run me as well. And I'm pretty sure he'll have the same mindset for if it is Johnny Manziel. So at some point, yes, someone has to empower these coaches to let them know and the players be well aware that, no, you're not going to run this ship. You're not going to run this show. Yeah, you are the star, but I'm the director, and you better follow my orders.
And what's impressive to me about what he did was in 2011, got more than 4,000 yards passing out of Rex Grossman and John Beck, with the number one receiver being Jabbar Gaffney, the number two, Santana Moss, well past his prime. And the year before that, in 2010, with McNabb and with Grossman, again, they threw for well over 4,000 yards with Santana Moss and Anthony Armstrong as the top two receivers, and again, got great tight end play out of Chris Cooley. So it's an offense that even before RG3 came was top 10 in the league in terms of yards passing without really much talent. So I think he's a smart guy. He uses a lot of bootlegs, which would behoove a mobile quarterback, whether it be a Johnny Manziel or a Blake Bortles that were to come to Cleveland at pick number four. So I think it is a pretty good fit, and it gives the offensive side of the ball some credibility with someone who's been established in the league with at least 5 years calling plays for some offenses that have outperformed, frankly, their talent levels.
Yes, and then if you look at the offensive line, this is not an offensive line that's going to be in your face and beat you up. It's, in my opinion, perfect for a zone blocking scheme, so he'll bring that to the table as well.
Right.
And then you don't have to worry about necessarily finding a guy in the first, second, or third round, because they found Morris somewhere in the fourth or fifth round, if I'm not mistaken, and look what he's done for this for the Redskins.
That's right.
Gerard, another question of the day that we've dealt with, and there have been a few of them, but I'm going to try to pick the best one that I want you to handle, and that is the commissioner saying today on Mike and Mike, making reference to the possibility of expanding the playoffs by two teams. He sounded pretty enthusiastic about this. He says this is something the membership, meaning other owners of the NFL or owners of the NFL, are aboard with, and it's going to get a lot of serious talk through this offseason. Up or down, thumbs up or thumbs down on the notion of adding two more teams to the postseason?
Thumbs extremely down. If I wasn't a family man, I'd give another finger to it. But with that being said, don't cheapen the experience. That's what you're going to end up doing. Make it a right to earn it to get there. Not a right, but to earn it to get there. And if you add more teams in there, yeah, I understand you may have situations where a 10-6 team may not make it every now and then, but that creates more of a draw for the following season to see if they can make it back there again. So I'm totally against that idea, because what makes the football season special in the first place is that week to week, you know you have to go out there and battle. If you know you could be ho-hum and still get into the playoffs, I think that's going to work against the NFL in the long run, as opposed to doing a little short-term fixer-upper.
Yep, that's unanimous then, all three of us not wanting the NFL to add two more playoff teams, which probably means they will. All right, well, we appreciate your thoughts on that, Gerard, and we're going to appreciate the fact that you and Bruce Hooley will be following this show. Be on very shortly. It'll be Hooley and Gerard right here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Gerard Cherry will join us again tomorrow. That segment driven by Liberty Ford, as is this entire show. We want to thank Mike Pereira from Fox Sports for being with us, former head of officiating for the National Football League. Also want to thank Chris Myers from Fox Sports also for sharing his thoughts with us as well. Enjoyed that very much. And we want to thank Carly McCord for tweeting throughout the show. She's going to put together the Browns Daily Wrap that you will read the text highlights of this show, posted later today on clevelandbrowns.com. We encourage you to go there to see all our coverage from here, from Super Bowl 48. I've got a piece on Richard Sherman up. I got a piece on the weather situation. Check those items out as well, along with a lot of great video that came out of Honolulu from the Pro Bowl. And we want to thank our producer, Jason Gibbs, for all his great work with us as well. And you, the listener, for joining us and for calling us. And we've got much more of that for you ahead in the coming days from here in New York. Much more Browns talk as we cover and monitor the coaching situation. All right, for Nathan Zagura, I am Vic Carucci saying we will talk to you again on Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.